This call is being recorded.
Six, seven. Did you like listening to that music while you were on hold?
It got me so excited, I painted my face blue and gold.
It is quite the stirring rendition.
Absolutely. I almost ran out and got another tattoo.
And over and over and over again. Glad that you could join.
That's what my... One of my alarms is for wake up. It's also a ringtone I've got during the fall season.
Nice. Hey, are you good after the call? Do you have anything going on after we're done?
I will make time for you.
Well, I just, you know, if you want to chat afterwards, I think I'm good with tonight. I will pour myself a scotch and we will talk.
I love when my conversations induce alcohol drinking.
No, that's not just you. That's me. It's a problem.
Yeah, we can hook up afterwards.
Okay, great. Hello, Eric. Hopefully the rest will be joining us soon. You and I have map errors. Do you both call in, or are you anybody using the Uber conference?
I'm using Uber.
I'm driving, so I'm just calling.
Okay. Let me see. So I hear it's going to be pouring rain up there this weekend while I'm there.
Must be bringing it with you.
I'm sure I will be. JG, what's up, buddy?
Can you guys hear me all right?
Yep.
All right. I'm here.
Why, we're getting younger and younger.
I know. Jason is a youthful lad.
Yeah, I got kids in the background here, so.
Oh, you're fine. Did you see?
It's really impressive that a lot of our associate members are going to be born in this century.
Yeah, I know. Hey, Chaz, welcome in, man. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it.
Glad you're on. We're going to get started in just a little bit. We're going to let everybody round out. I still have that we're 2 minutes away. We do have a packed call tonight, so I do hope that we can start on time. A few more of the key players. Hey, Jordan. Welcome in.
Anybody there?
We're here.
Hey, it's Jordan.
We see you.
Yep.
We see you. John, did you get Bob Loeffner's email?
Yes, I did. I've got it. Hey, okay. Chaz, you're AP 663?
That's correct.
Thank you.
No problem.
Hey, Connor, welcome in. Hello, Patrick.
Hello.
We're just going to give it another minute or two, and then we'll get started. It looks like we got almost there.
Hey, guys. This is Connor Burke. I just joined the call.
Glad you're with us.
Yes, sir. How are y'all doing?
We're great. It's like a bunch of investors sitting around watching you make us a lot of money. You've been doing extremely well, and we appreciate that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I'm going to give it another minute. Craig Winkleman is texting me. I'm sure he's going to ask for the number for the 1,000th time.
Never mind.
You know, I can do an auto dial-in feature where we just call people at the start of the call. We can
really?
Add him to it. Yeah.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
No. By option only.
I knew Patrick would fly
no,
off.
For the oddest reason,
it doesn't work with 304 numbers.
Thank God.
But any other number, let me know.
All right. Do you want to dial him? Hold on. No, he'll be in. There he is. Thanks for joining us, buddy. All right, 5:01. I'm sure there'll be a few more people joining. Hey, Jason, would you do me a favor and put up the agenda if you can? Can you share that? Because there's a couple people that are on the
list. I didn't get it. When did you send it?
I sent it Monday. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Well, if you can, that would be great. If you can find Monday.
I should be able to.
Dad, I'm working on my dog.
Hey, Tom, it's Craig. I'm going to mute the call.
Okay, cool. Thanks for being on. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Okay.
Because I'm going to be driving on speaker with my son, so I'm going to mute it, all right?
That sounds good. All right, so I'm going to call this regular meeting of the Alfaro Alumni Chapter Board of Directors to order. John, can you please call roll? Off of mute, if you don't. Johnny.
Johnny George.
He's still on. Johnny, you on mute?
This phone is going crazy on me. I'm going to throw it. Anthony Grayley, AP 359, regional leader for Charleston.
He's not on.
Ken Burko, AP 367, regional leader for the Carolinas. Patrick Farley, AP 67, historian.
Here.
Jordan Feathers, AP 438, vice president, chief risk officer.
Here.
Greg Winkleman, AP 69, vice president of fundraising. He's present.
I'm Jason. Here.
Thank you. Jason Hyde, AP 466, vice president.
I'm here.
John George is here. Patrick Folio, AP 147, treasurer.
Here.
Eric Baldwin, AP 412, VP, chief operating officer.
Present.
Matt Laffa, AP 628, executive VP. Tom Begley, AP 284, president and chief executive officer.
Present.
And I believe currently our two other attendees are Chaz Tranter, AP 663, Council of Advisors.
Present.
And Connor Burke, Leadership Consultant with PyCapify.
I'm here.
Anyone else? So you, Tom.
All right. Thank you very much. Can I have a motion, please, to dispense with the reading of last month's minute?
So moved.
67.
Seconded.
That's 69. Okay. Without objection, we're going to dispense with those because we have a full meeting. I had asked Dr. Richardson to come on the call to talk a little bit about the moratorium. I wanted you to hear it from his point of view. I want to spend a few minutes talking about this. Connor, if you want to chime in too after my comments, we'd certainly want to hear from your perspective and what you're feeling on campus. But just a quick background for those of you who didn't recall from my message last week. On Monday evening, I got a call from Dr. Richardson, who informed me that the university was very seriously considering shutting down the Greek system. The provost, Joyce McConnell, I believe that's her name, had called the Dean of Students, Corey Ferris, and expressed that with several incidents that had taken place on campus, that they were aware of hazing incidents and some sexual assaults and rape on campus, allegations of it, that she was done and she wanted it shut down. The following day that there was a Monday of last week, there was an emergency meeting that was called by President Gee, where all of those players were present, along with this chief counsel, legal team, foundation people, and I think a couple of board of governors to discuss the Greek life and what to do about it. It was a very serious push from the legal team and from the provost to permanently shut down Greek life at WVU. But Dr. Gee was very emphatic and said, that's not a solution. That's not a road we're going to go down. What could we do? So he had talked to Dean Ferris, and Dean Ferris had asked Dr. Richardson to come to the meeting prepared to talk about alternatives to shutting it down, which was the proposal that was put out and announced after that meeting last, again, forgive me on my days, Tuesday or Wednesday, but I think it was Tuesday. So it announced the moratorium, which essentially shut down all recruiting and all social events for IFC organizations on campus. So this did not affect the National Panhellenic or the Panhellenic, the traditionally Black fraternities and sororities. So this was geared towards the IFC members. And the long and short of it is, and it didn't really affect the recruiting because they were essentially done with recruiting for the semester. The reason, and let me back up, the reason why Dr. Richardson called me before the announcement was made after the meeting with the presidents was because He wanted to make very clear that we and our expansion efforts, the rechartering efforts, were not going to be affected by this, that we were not going to have to shut down what Connor and Park were doing on campus. So we weren't going to be affected, but he wanted to just me to be prepared for that and to discuss it a little bit. I think all of you have read it. If you haven't, go back and take a look. It does have some implications for us after we recharter and then starting in the fall of 19. But some of the major impacts are going to have to deal with the membership education and condensing that to a 4-week period. It's also has a subtle effect on academics. The Supreme Law says that you have to have a 2.7 GPA. They're asking for a 2.75. We've adjusted now with the new associate members to let them know that that's what we're going to go for. And gradually over time, they want that GPA raised to a 3.0. Again, I think that they've asked, which again, I found ironic and strangely satisfying. They've asked each one of the fraternities to come up and present a strategic plan on how they were going to change. So again, made me feel a little bit good knowing that we'd already done that. And then I'm trying to think if there's any other significant implications for Real Greek Life. So that was it. I had long conversations with both James Maloney and Brandon Belote about this. Mark is aware of it. Mark Timmies is aware of it. He has not formulated any sort of public position on it. But the sense that both James and Brandon gave me is they're not panicking about this. This is not being viewed as a very big deal. And so if Mark has anything to say about it, I certainly will relay it to you and to our members. But I really don't think that this is something that's going to have a tremendous effect on what we're doing. I talked to both Connor and Parker about this. I really do feel like this serves us very well. I think this is a wake-up call to people that are on campus that are looking to join a fraternity and don't want to join what's already existing on campus. It's just another reminder that we're different and that we're offering something much more robust, much more of a full, complete betterment for the student for the rest of their lives experience. So I'm pleased. We got some questions that were raised when I made the announcement. I sent those to I responded to anyone who had questions about it. And I think that was good. It was a pretty healthy discussion with several people. So I feel good. Connor, do you have anything you'd like to add to those comments?
To be honest, I don't really have anything new. I just kind of want to echo what you said. Like, we've been recruiting these men off of the fact of let's be something a little different. You know, let's not just focus on the social aspect all the time and do some good out there. And I think this leads more towards like a fraternity mindset, not a frat. And that's exactly what we've been trying to start this whole time. So like you said, I don't think this is going to affect the men that we have recruited at this point. And like you said, the only things that really affects us right now are we can't have social events and the GPA thing. We can't have social events this semester. The only thing I'd add is there is definitely a chance that there will be some chapters on campus that will not be returning. Obviously, it won't be us. We'll be there in the fall. But just the Greek Life system overall could look a little different because it says stuff about inviting back the chapters that they want back. So that might be interesting in the fall. But besides that, on our end, we're perfectly fine.
Yeah. Guys, we could spend all night talking about this. I think it's just let's kind of leave it here. If you have questions, I'm certainly happy to entertain any, but I don't want to draw out this discussion because we do have so much more. There is, and I talked to Turner and Dyson and a lot of other people, the culture on campus is very hard for those of us who have been out of school for a while to really grasp in terms of how truly awful it is. It is just after decades and decades of neglect and just recruiting people that are simply joining fraternities to uphold the party image and the, you know, the I'm schmacked videos that is the perception of what a fraternity is on campus. It's really bad. So I, you know, part of me applauds the efforts. I really do appreciate the work that Dr. Richardson and Jessica Lee are having to do. It's tough. You know, part of me wishes we could go back and recreate a day where we didn't have to worry about this kind of stuff. But, you know, again, I think we should all be somewhat satisfied that we were proactive. We were 4 years ahead of the rest of the fraternities on campus in doing what we did. So that's something we can be proud of and kind of hang our hats and shine a light and maybe get a pat on our back from somebody, although I'm not holding my breath for that. Are there any questions before we move on?
Hey, Tom, this is Craig.
Go right ahead.
Hey, just, you know, as a historical perspective, as Pat knows, you know, when we rechartered the chapter, we were in a very similar scenario as this. Obviously, the environment wasn't as toxic amongst fraternities. You know, we came on campus as the alternative to hazing and everything else that was going on. And I think it just plays in our favor. So, and I think the stuff that's going on campus as far as our recruiting is really awesome. I think we're going to have a bunch of really great guys. So I'm psyched.
Well, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, great. All right, I'm going to move on. And the next item on the agenda actually is Connor. I asked him to join us just to give us a little bit more color around the updates that I've been sending out on a weekly basis. So the floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, perfect. So I don't know what the numbers were at the last time that either myself or Parker sent you an update, but as of the end of today, we're at 64 signed members, so 64 men in the chapter, with one holding a bid, which means he's thinking about it, so hopefully we'll be at 65. And then there's still people that we're talking to. We have 763 names on our list. Obviously, a few of them, a little bit more than half, have pretty much told us no, but we still have plenty of outreach to go. But even if we stopped at 65, I think we're in a perfectly good place size-wise. Kind of like Parker's been saying, they're very just good group of guys. They're all involved in something. They're all obviously above a 2.75 at this point, so they're doing well in the classroom. From different areas, I don't know all the hometown backgrounds, but there definitely are a good amount of people from West Virginia in the chapter, and different majors, different years, a lot of sophomores and juniors, a lot of freshmen, two seniors. And I think the big thing on the list at this point is we will have our election this Sunday, so there will be leadership, so we will have our rechartering president and vice president, Archon and vice Archon, treasurer, stuff like that. And that's kind of how things are going. I'm actually not at West Virginia anymore. I'm in Philadelphia prepping for our Temple expansion, but Parker is still there, and he will be wrapping up recruitment this week, so we'll kind of have our final numbers at the end of Friday.
Fantastic. Does anyone have any questions for Connor about the expansion?
Connor, it's Patrick Farley, AP 67.
Hello.
Paul with you. Good to meet you. What is the number we're looking for, Connor, that we would be comfortable with having as a rechartering associate class?
So I'm going to be honest. Like, if we stayed exactly where we are right now, I think we'd be fine, because the mean and like median chapter size at West Virginia is around where we are right now, and that's sometimes what we shoot for. But we didn't really hit campus with a number goal. We had more of like a type of guy we were looking for. Those people who I kind of mentioned later aren't just trying to party all the time. And, you know, as long as we continue to find those men, we'll continue to recruit. We don't really have a maximum or a minimum at this point. We're perfectly fine where we are, but I think we'll continue to grow.
Well, looking at the numbers that we have now and knowing we will probably, with any new organization, we'll have some attrition. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a summer to get through, and there could be circumstances mm-hmm. that cause some people not to come back. Is there a target number we're looking at to make sure that we do have in order to recharter?
On our end, I really don't think so. We were never sent in with a goal. We were just, you know, like the chapters, yeah, we always lose a few people, but they're going to recruit in the fall, and then they will participate in formal recruitment in the spring. But I don't think there's really that target that we need to hit as long as we just stay like healthy or competitive, which is average chapter size.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else? Going once. I'll just say this. I'm absolutely, I was sitting at my desk when Connor and Parker sent the update to me, and I had to text them to see if I read the number correctly. And they confirmed that's what the number was they were looking for on Sunday night with the next group of guys that they're going to pre-eye. They're going to be around 60, and now it's 65. Really good chance we were at Sunday with 70. It's astounding what they've done. And all along the way, again, the quality of guys that they're telling me they're picking up. I had about an hour-long discussion with Parker yesterday, and he assured me, he says, you're not going to believe these guys. You're just not. They're exactly what we're looking for. Engaging, good. Like Connor said, they're involved on campus. They're academically inclined. They've embraced the service model. They're attracted to the ability experience. You know, all the things we thought we wanted to hear about what we're looking for. Again, the anti-fraternity, the new phi, for those of you who are steeped in our fraternity's history. That's such a great thing that kept popping in my mind as all this was going on was, you know, our fraternity was founded as the non-fraternity. And we really parallel that we're offering such a great alternative and guys are responding. So I'm blown away. I'm so thrilled and grateful to you, Connor, and Parker, for what you've done, and we'll forever be thankful for you. Connor, while we got you on, I'll put you on the spot. Any chance of getting you back in April for our spring alumni weekend?
I'll see what I can do. Most likely I'll be either at Temple or Penn State. I don't think I'll be that far, but
it's a quick drive.
I'll see. Yeah, it's not a long one, so I'll see what I can do.
I would, on behalf of all of us, I think we would like to have you join us, and I think we could make it worth your while if you came back in. Please,
it's definitely on the calendar, so hopefully I can make it and, you know, meet all you guys again and meet the ones that I haven't gotten the pleasure to meet yet. I sure would like to, so I'll see.
Okay, good. All right. I want to give a moving on. Before I leave, anybody else? Okay. Council of Advisors update. So I haven't made this public yet to everyone. I think I've told a person or two. Last week when all of this was going on with the moratorium being announced, I got word from Sabrina that she has decided, partly because of this, but more because of the time commitment and just the family obligations that she had that she didn't anticipate, that she is not going to be our chapter advisor. She expressed a desire to stay close with us, though, and offer us support and be a friend of the fraternity on campus, which I told her we would certainly absolutely welcome her. She asked if she could still come to some of the events for Spring Alumni Weekend, which I absolutely said we certainly should have her. She's a pretty influential person on campus. I think it's going to be really good of us to keep her close. And maybe down the line, if we do need somebody and it works out for her, I think she would be a fantastic advisor. So I'm going to be working with Dr. Richardson to identify somebody to lead that Council of Advisors. We are going to be, I'm traveling up to Morgantown this weekend, and Bo Samples, who's the director of volunteer services, coming up from Charlotte. And we're going to be conducting training on Sunday with the Council of Advisors. So Chaz and Jay and Bobby D and myself will be going through a couple hours of training at WVU. I'm going to use that time as well, and I'll talk about it more in my report, to meet with the new student members, the student associate members. You know, again, I think I appreciated her not starting this and getting in too deep before she told us that she couldn't do it. So we're still good. I'm confident we'll find somebody that will be exactly what we need to lead us on campus for the Council of Advisors. Any questions?
Well, I guess I'll be rewriting that paragraph about the first female for the and Tom, just quickly, what position did Bobby D take?
He's going to be our financial advisor and work with the treasurer.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, and just again, Chaz is going to work with the member ed and the warden. It's a really key position, and I love the fact that he's a recent grad and will be able to relate to these guys more one-on-one. But we're going to train him up and get him engaged with these guys. I'm really excited to have him. And then Jay's going to be our certified ritualist and make sure that he's doing the functions of keeping us always tied to ritual and what we do. And that one, honestly, that I had Jay pegged for that position a couple years ago. I just thought he would be perfect. He could sit with you and talk to you about ritual of initiation, unlike anyone I've ever talked to. He did our debrief when I was a newly went through initiation, and he's fantastic at it. He's got a passion for it, and it's going to be perfect for him. I'll work for now in a temporary position. I'll be working with the Vice Archon. It's always my passion. I'm a Vice Archon geek. So until we find a permanent person to fill that recruitment role, I'll be working with the Vice Archon or recruitment person, whoever's on there. Anybody else? Okay, let's get into it.
Tom, it's John here. I'm sorry for the sure. minute. Could you explain again real quick, Chaz, and Chaz's role? I've got Bobby doing treasure, financial, Jay with ritual, you with recruitment. Can you again remind me Chaz's role?
Chaz is going to be member ed advisor. Yep.
Thank you. Sorry, guys.
Thank you. Okay. John, while we got you, Bob could not join us tonight. Can you just briefly give us his update?
Sure. From the Pittsburgh region, Bob indicated that they did attempt to have a social function for the WVU Kansas watch party, but they had a little bit of a lack of interest, so they canceled that. Just a few affirmed that they could go. They're also working with Patrick Carlson, the leader of the 2018 Journey of Hope North Leg, to try to secure some meals and perhaps lodging during the stopover in Pittsburgh in August. And lastly, he's been working with Jason to try to figure out or try to update the Alpha alumni contact information for some of those lost brothers and track those down. I don't know if Jason has any more on that, but he's been working to do that research.
Yeah, he's gotten me at least 3 or 4 contact updates, so he's been doing a great job with that.
Last couple of weeks, man, he's just been finding those, and guys have been sending them to him. So, you know, who was one? Mick Stonfer was one that we didn't have.
Yeah.
That, like, holy crap.
So, Kevin McDonald was another.
Yeah. I mean, just amazing. And again, if you guys could always just keep that in the back of your mind as you're having communications with people, is just make sure that we've got their right. You got to ask them, are you getting the communications we're sending out? And if they're not, just grab their email and send it to Jason, and we'll update the database.
Yeah, even if you guys have an email of somebody you're contacting, and yeah, get me the email. I'll add them to the email distribution, and then I can go from there to try to get it, or I can tell you guys, hey, I haven't had an update in 12 years for this guy. But if we at least get emails, we can get them in the loop on stuff.
Yeah, that'd be great. That's so key. Ken, did you happen to join us? I'm not looking at the screen. Okay. For those of you, I put out a note last week. Anthony Grayley, our friend Twan, tragically lost his mother in a car accident. And has been in mourning. I told him to please just not worry about joining us this month for our call. And he appreciated the support. I wanted to bring up at this time during his report, it's not something we customarily do, But since he's on our board of directors and such a good person, in lieu of flowers, they asked for a donation to be made to his father's, his late father's foundation. I would just like to suggest that maybe we send a $50 contribution to that fund from his brothers. Does anyone have an objection to that? Can we do that?
I move we do it.
Okay. We have a second.
I second.
Jason, any opposition? Okay, so move. Let's do that. Jason, would you please send Patrick that address and where that foundation was?
Sure.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And Patrick, whenever you get a chance, if you could mail that out, that would be great.
Okay.
All right. Regional leaders, I'm just going to put this in the minutes real quick, and Bob can hear it, and the other guys that are on. The one thing that I would make a recommendation for our regional leaders is we've got to go out a little bit further in terms of planning the events. And a friendly suggestion that I gave to Bob was he was giving, and I appreciate Bob. He does so much work for us, so this is not a criticism of him. But I think in his, you know, his friendly way, he was giving people the option of a couple days and asking the region which day would they like to do it. And it's just not effective. What I would suggest that the regional leaders do is go out about a month, 2 months in advance and say, we're going to have an event this day at this place. And then you got to publicize it. You just got to continually remind guys. So it's just plan it, put it on a calendar, and communicate it with your regions, and let's get it done. I'd like to see us have a couple more regions hold events. And I know that, does Ken have a big one planned for us for Labor Day. So we'll get that on the calendar, and we'll start planning around that one. Okay, let's move into our...
Tom, it's Pat. Before we do that... tickets for that game are due to the university for MAC members at the end of March. Just a heads up. So they're in the process of doing that. So I just want to give an FYI.
I was going to ask this question because I got a message from Steve Merck this week that he's coming in, that he's heard that there's a couple people that are coming in for it, and that he's asked Ken to see if he can get tickets. I'm gonna bring that up. I don't know how we would obtain a block of tickets ahead of time. I think we're gonna have to say, look, if you want tickets and we
can't have to,
then we're gonna have to get a guy to let us know if they want it ahead of time and be able to
get some
money. Yeah.
Thomas, John here. So I've reached out. Where I'm discussing that with Ken. I reached out to the Charlotte Sports Foundation, who's the kind of organizing group for that. They didn't offer any group tickets. He said that they would possibly be able to get us a block together. So we're going to have to get a number. So it's going to involve some sort of, RCP is the right mechanism for that, but some sort of number to get to them and then go from there. I have not seen the price of the tickets, and I'm not sure that the reservation through the MAC is providing a price at this point either. But I don't know. Should we go through the MAC or should we go? I feel like I know the guy long enough.
I don't know how we would go through the MAC. We're not MAC members.
Right. Yeah, I'll just say, guys, I read the link that WVU Sports shared. I think pricing starts at $70 or $80 up to like $400. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
To John's, Tom's point, I mean, if you're not in the MAC and season ticket holder, those are first dibs.
So okay, I'll reach out. I've got to friends. I'll follow up with Ken, and we'll get information out to everybody.
Yeah, let's kind of focus that, John, if you don't mind, if you could be the liaison back to Ken on that. Before we send a mass one out, let's get the information, share it with me, and then let's distribute it out and then talk about how we're going to target that. We've got to do it. We have to time that, and we've got to also coordinate that with the rest of the messages that we're sending out. So just find the information and let's get moving, because we're running out of time for that part of it.
Yeah, and don't use the MAC. This is Patrick, because I did for Virginia Tech last year for our tickets. I got 68, and they botched it.
Oh, God. All right. So, Well, if we're going to do it, we got to get on it. And if it's not feasible, what I don't want to do is I don't want to get us in a position where we're promising people tickets and something gets messed up and somebody's up in the nosebleeds and the other person's on the front row or he's in the Tennessee section. We've got to be good. If we're going to do this, we got to coordinate this pretty well. So let's get that done. All right. Let's move along. Our illustrious historian, Patrick Farley, AP67.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom. Let me just interrupt real quick. Hey, sure. It's Craig. Hey, I just got to my girlfriend's house. I'm going to have to bail off the call. So I got a couple things I need to talk to you about post my meeting here with a couple guys, you know, from the national office when I was drinking beer with them at Bond Brothers for that regional event.
Good.
All right?
Yeah. Call me whenever.
All right, I will. Take care, guys.
Thanks. See you, Craig. See you, Craig. All right. Back to you, Patrick.
Tom, does the woman previously known as our chapter advisor have any connections for tickets?
That's a good question. I will make a note of that and see if she does.
As far as the history project, I had written some now needing changed paragraphs on the history this week. And my plan is to probably by the end of next week have the latest and greatest out to everybody to review so that it can start to be used as a teaching tool.
Great. Can you tell me did you include the years from the time the charter was revoked to now? Is that included in the write-up?
Not extensively. I can look back at that. And then after we read it, I'm sure there are some things that you will want added.
Okay. Just wanted to know, just from an informational standpoint.
Yeah, I'm trying to get this, especially in the recent activities of late fall and what we're going through now, I'm trying to get as much of that captured as possible.
Cool. I appreciate it. Okay. Would you like to let everyone in on our good news from this past week? Regarding April of 2019?
We've gotten a little bit closer to nailing down the weekend that we're going to be able to have the rechartering and the celebration of 40th anniversary in April of 2019, and it's the weekend of April 11. We all still know in this conversation that that's still a little bit of a moving target, and we're going to have to kind of play that by ear as we're going through the next 6 months. But if we can keep that solid from the rechartering standpoint, then we will plan for that to be the weekend of April 11th. Our hub will more than likely be the waterfront property because of just its location and its size, and we will try to pull some other venues into the weekend, but it probably will be at that location.
I want to just clarify just a little bit from the communications that we had, because I did have an extensive, when I talked to Brandon, we spent a lot of time talking about this. That weekend is firm. It will be April 11th. The question is, we will be celebrating the 40th rechartering of the 40th anniversary of the 1978 recharting regardless. The thing that they can't assure us, and they wanted to make sure this was clear, if everything goes as we expect it to go, the rechartering of our associate chapter will happen that weekend. If for whatever reason they do not are not able to meet the requirements, then we just will not be celebrating the rechartering during that time. They'll do it later. They will be part of it. They will be around for the things that they can be around for, participating in banquet. We'll have them, but we just can't say for certain, because we just don't know whether or not the recharting part will happen. But we are definite. That date is etched. It is set in stone. It is on the fraternity calendar. So every one of you that's on the call, I need you to put that date now on your calendars and burn it, put wax on it. I don't care what you have to do, but that is a date that you absolutely 100% positively have to be in Morgantown. And we're going to start to make that announcement, and we're going to start to talk that date up with everyone else. So we're going to position it that way. I would like to have conversations with the Waterfront Plaza to start that down that path. And we can do that. So let's get that going and let's get excited about it. And we're going to talk to the associate members and get them fired up about it so that they have something to shoot for and be excited about and incentivize. So any questions?
I wouldn't dare ask a question after that directive.
Yes, thank you. We'll have a lot more. We've got to engage now the rechartering committee and really start down the path of what that has. Now, Patrick, I'll take this offline with you when we talk later. Few of the things that we're going to have to work through in our planning, I got some clarification and color on, but it's pretty good. It's pretty easy, and I think we're not going to have any problems at all. So I'm excited. Okay. Thank you very much, Patrick, and look forward to seeing the latest updates on the history project. It's really important for our associate members to have. Our VP and Chief Risk Officer, Jordan.
All right. Bring everybody up to date on the apparel that was ordered for all the contributions in January. On January 28th, I ordered 26 garments. They totaled $806 and then another $120 of freight cost and tax. They were delivered on the 2nd, which was a Friday. I got them out to the embroiderer the next week on a Tuesday, and I'm still waiting to get them back. I'm hoping to have them back by tomorrow or Friday, but that's not a promise. And as soon as I have them back from the embroiderer, you'll be getting your garments out to you. So Patrick has already paid me, so we're all square on that. And then once I ship them out, I'll get that monies to Patrick again to be reimbursed. But that's all I have.
Perfect. That's awesome. What was I going to say? Spring Alumni Weekend, we need to have a quick conversation about the risk policy and just making sure that we're on the same page as far as that's concerned, because we're going to have associate members there and underage people. So just I will take that offline with you.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. VP fundraising, Craig just dropped off. I'm going to put this back to my report, and we'll go over it during then. VP Chief Information Officer, Jason.
Hello. I don't have a whole lot to report. Connor and Parker have taken over social media kind of posting. If everybody is on Instagram, if you're not, get on there. They're posting pictures of the guys that they're bringing in. Very eclectic group of guys. I'm kind of excited to see it as it comes out. They just posted today a guy from Norway. So certainly a great group. We're obviously getting together. I'm working on the website now. I've updated and trying to keep up to date contributions. Yeah, so if anybody on is wondering who's contributed, anything like that, just go to wpodcat.org, click on contributions. That list is up to date. It's usually up to date within a day or two, so at the latest. So if you're wondering, did somebody contribute and it's not on there, likely they did not. Other than that, we're going to start ramping up communications and social media for Spring Alumni Weekend. Try to get that going. The site is live. RSVPs are live. We have received, I had it up here a second ago, I think 8 or 12 reservations so far. Seven. Most of those are people new are coming. If you guys are coming, get out there and RSVP ASAP, please, so we can start sharing, hey, we got X number of guys coming. I watch TV. Other than that, I'm working. Tom has me working on a couple things to add to the website. We're going to add a history part for 67's report when he gets it done. I'm going to add some pictures that I have, some old pictures, and then we're going to try to get some pictures together. The other thing I was talking to Tom about adding is I want to add a section, especially now that we're recruiting and going to have undergrads, about hazing, our policies, and I'm going to add like a anonymous form that says report hazing. I think something like that's imperative. I know the culture of bullying, hazing, sometimes guys just don't feel like making themselves known. And then the link will simply go to Jordan and Tom. That's it. And them two will handle it from there to work with the undergrads and whomever needs involved. Other than that, that's all I really have. Got a few updates from really Bob. Mostly he's been pushing hard for his group of guys. So again, if you know anybody that hasn't been in the fold or you're talking to them, just ask them, hey, have you updated your info? Literally takes a minute. If you have autofill set up, it probably takes less time. That's really all I have right now. Tom, do you have anything you want to highlight?
No, thanks. Thanks.
All righty. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thanks to all the Hyatt boys. That was wonderful.
Yeah, he hasn't said much until, of course, I start talking. Right? You want to say hi?
That's because he's looking for that dingin' elf on the shelf.
Oh, yeah. I got speakers and headphones in, so we're good.
I want to make a real quick, not clarification, just a distinction, too. Don't stop retweeting. Don't stop doing what we're doing. We will get a clarification around the use of the social media platforms. We want the student members to have, and this was always the design, they were going to have content control over Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter. We'll always retain editorial control. We'll be able to be watching that and making sure that the content that they're putting out there is appropriate and have the ability to get rid of something that might not be appropriate. Again, I'm not worried about that with these group of guys, but we'll have that. So in the meantime, don't stop posting content from the alumni chapter. It's very important. So, you know, just keep going as we are, and guys, be supportive of the especially the Instagram post of the new guys that they put up every day is really cool. So go out and like it and see what they're up to. It's pretty neat. Okay, let's move on. Our secretary and chief communications officer, JG, John George.
Yeah, real quick, the February newsletter was going to profile Sabrina King, but with her stepping down, Tom has asked the expansion representatives to answer some questions. So hopefully we get that back and can get that in the next newsletter. That's the plan moving forward right now.
I have that and plan on getting it together. They each sent me their individual answers, so I'm combining it. I'll try to get it as close to being done for you so that you have to put minimum edits into it and just post it. So we should be good.
Thank you.
Thank you for staying on that one. Okay, our treasurer, chief financial officer, Patrick Folio.
Hello. We are now at, I think, about $15,000 in donations through the campaign. Just transferred over today. I cannot read my writing. $1,900. So I will be adding them to our spreadsheet that I'm keeping here, and I'll send it over to Tom and Jason so we can have people to check everything on the website. I'm now starting a tab on that spreadsheet for Alumni Weekend, so that will also be on there so we can make sure and see who's paid, who hasn't. So I think we're good there from that perspective. And then Pat Farley, if you would, if you get a contract, if you get one from the Marriott in Morgantown or whatever venue you select, if you don't mind, I would love to look at it before you sign it.
Absolutely.
And if you need any help, don't hesitate to reach out.
Will do.
Okay, that's all I have.
Current balance, do you have that?
Oh yeah, $15,243.77.
Hooray. That's good. That's very good. We got to keep going, guys. I'll get to that in a minute. All right. Vice President, Chief Operating Officer, Eric.
I don't have much either. We've already went over it. Chaz accepted before the last meeting, but I guess since the last one, Bob Dombrowski accepted, and you guys already talked about it, and he was very gracious, and I'm very happy he did. So if you have any questions, just let me know.
All right. We've got one thing that I'm going to be putting on your radar for probably summer, early fall timeframe is the strategic plan for the next 5 years. So from your 40 to 45, technically we're supposed to have it this year, but it's going to be released the weekend of the rechartering celebration. So we're going to convene the normal per the Constitution with you as chair, the undergraduate associate president, myself, Mike Turner, and the chapter advisor will head that committee. It's not going to be as intensive as obviously the last one was, but I want to put that on your radar now and get that get you thinking in that way so that we can start that work late summer, early fall.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, our executive vice president Matt Laffa is just texted me. He's on a date. So he is on top of a building somewhere in Manhattan. So he cannot join us tonight. But I've had a couple conversations with him, and he is seeing some light at the end of his tunnel in terms of career and having some more time to dedicate to what we're doing here. But I still have not, he has not given me a decision on if he'll be joining me for Supreme Chapter in Chicago per the Constitution. It's me and the president and executive vice president that attends. If he cannot go, I have asked Jason to attend again. If he can't go, then I'm going to open it up and see if we can get somebody to join me. So just want to put that everybody out there on that. All right. My report, and I've got about 10 minutes to get everything done. I've got quite a little bit. So, first of all, Spring Alumni Weekend. Guys, please, I'm begging you now, go out and register. If you can't, if you know you can't make it because you have an unavoidable conflict, please let me know. But I really want the entire board there. We're going to have, I mean, the way that I'm looking at it now, that dinner on Friday night, we could have close to 100 people. If we get the normal number of people that show up for our, you know, our Spring Alumni Weekend, which is around 30, and I think we're trending in that way, we'll have about 100 people for that dinner on Friday night alone, not to mention the baseball game the next day. It's going to be a phenomenal weekend, but I want to have a strong showing, and I want to make sure the board of directors is there. So get out there and register ASAP. I sent all of you emails. Nominations are going to be next month. We're going to open up the nomination process for the next term, which we'll be voting on during Spring Alumni Weekend. I told you guys, and I've gotten very good feedback, and I appreciate it. I'm going to be renominating the entire slate. And as I said, I really would like the continuity to get us through fall of 19, and then we can talk about maybe working on a transition process for a lot of us if you want to step off or move into a new position on the board in the year 2020. I would be happy to do that, but I would really appreciate it if we could keep the same group of people in place for the next couple of years. The workload, I promise you, is going to get a lot less. Okay. This weekend, like I said, I will be visiting Morgantown. And again, the purpose of the visit is to work with the Council of Advisors, spend some time talking with them. The training session that's being done by the national office is at their cost. We're not having to put out anything other than the cost of my travel up there. But I'm also going to be introducing the alumni chapter to the new associate members. As Connor said, they're going to be holding their elections this weekend. And after that, I'm going to be presenting them about, again, who we are, what we've done, what's our history, what happened in 2015, what we've done the last couple of years to put us in the position to have him here. And then after that meeting, I will be offering to take out the new executive council if they want to pick brains or talk a little bit more after that. For those of you who are close by in Morgantown, I'd really love it. Again, if you wouldn't mind joining us that night, it is going to be probably a couple hour meeting because of the elections. Just to let you know, but if you guys could join us, I would appreciate it. In that same vein, going forward, and I'm going to try to get a rotating schedule like we tried to do back in 14-15, but have a rotation where at least one alumni is present at those chapter meetings on they're holding them Sunday nights now. So for right now, and if we can, before we have our chapter advisor, having a representative from either the council advisors from the board of directors, if the guys that are on the council advisors can't make it for executive council meetings, I'd really like to get us, there for them to lean on from alumni standpoint. One of the things that we've got to be really cognizant of now, and if anybody is at a chapter meeting, just remember that, you know, according to the customs, tradition, and the gold book, we don't have a voice in chapter meetings, in undergraduate or student member chapter meetings. You have to be recognized technically by the Archon to speak. And so out of tradition, we never do. Alumni sit in the back, and if you recall, as student members, when you were alumni, you would get the gavel pass the gavel, and you would ask permission essentially from the Archon to speak, and it's always granted. But I'm saying this because I want to make sure that we're putting in place the right processes from the get-go. We're not gonna talk about how they're operating. That's not the place, that's not the time, and that's not for us to do during chapter meetings. Okay. Also, on that note too, as we start to get to know who these guys are, I just also want to remind everybody that the chain of command does flow from us through the Council of Advisors to the student chapter. There should never be an occasion that an alumni is contacting an undergraduate Archon or an executive council member to ask about what's going on. Any inquiries like that, or anything that's happening outside of just a mentoring relationship or something that they're, you know, what's going on, all of that gets communicated either through me, then what I send down through the chapter advisor or through the chapter advisor, but never directly through the undergraduate chapter. And once we get up and started and more, I will put a communication out to all of our members to remind them of that. Any questions there?
Tom, will that be true for the men you're putting in place to be advisors to certain undergraduate executive council people?
No, the Council of Advisors, again, their roles. Chaz is going to talk to the warden whenever he wants to.
Got it.
He's going to talk to the chaplain or the Archon whenever he wants to. They're the ones who have direct contact.
As it should be.
Yeah. But a random member on a Wednesday night who wants to know what's going on with the undergraduate chapter shouldn't be emailing the Archon. And I'm going to make sure that leadership team knows that they should forward any of those types of communications to me so that I can address it with any of the alumni members. It's just, we've got to start it the right way. And make sure that we're sending that correct message to our students and to our alumni. The next, go ahead. Anybody? Is there something?
Tom, how are you going to manage some of that with the in-person visits if some alum comes to town and stops by the house?
I will have trained and had very extensive discussions with the Archon or president, the associate member president. They're not called Archon when they're associates, I don't think. Sure. Our leadership consultants will also have time to talk about that. And again, I will be communicating with all of our members that there is absolutely no, we have an absolute 100% zero tolerance policy for anybody that goes in and into the fraternity house unannounced and thinks that they're going to, you know, run the roost. Now, there's a difference between coming in and saying, hey, I went to school here and can I meet a couple of the guys? Sure. But, you know, hopefully what we'll do is coordinate it the best we can to give us a heads up that, you know, it's their home and yes, it's the fraternity house, but there's going to be guys that live there. That's their home. We probably want to make sure we're going to try to give them a heads up that an alumni would be stopping by. We'll deal with all of that much more in detail. I just want to make sure the communication piece and how we're reaching out to them is handled.
Perfect.
Another project that we're going to be starting, and I'm going to be asking for someone to take this on, is we're going to be developing a mentorship and career guidance, career path type of career building with students, networking. That's the word I was looking for. Again, I think a big part of the reason why they're joining is their understanding that we have 600 alumni and they could have some connections to industry leaders when they get out of college. So I think we should formalize that and create a great way to, through LinkedIn, through a couple other things, to you know, harness that who does what and who would be willing to serve in a career mentor of some sort for our student members. We'll do that. And the final thing that I have for today is talking about the contribution campaign. I can't tell you how thrilled I am that we're halfway there, but we've hit a lull. And I got a wonderful email last night from, why am I blanking? Pardon me, from Christian Wiggins. My goodness, my brain is, I need scotch. Christian Wiggins emailed me and he said, just to remind me that where we are on the campaign now requires, peer-to-peer contact, friend-to-friend phone calls. Our emails are not going to be effective anymore as a way to garner that low-hanging fruit. We've picked all the low-hanging fruit we're going to pick. Each of you I've asked to create a small list or small group of guys that you should be reaching out to by email. Now is the time where I need you to pick two or three guys that have not contributed and have that phone call that we talked about. Reaching out and just saying hi, seeing how they're doing, and then asking them about contributing and saying, have you seen what we're doing? I know that Tom's bugging the crap out of you and Craig's bugging the crap out of you with the emails, but we're doing some great things and we could really use the help. Do you think you could help us out? And what Craig, Christian said was that is really where you get over the hump and you push towards the goal line by having those types of one-on-one conversations. I cannot stress, and I think Patrick would back me up on this, we've got to have the next $10,000, next $15,000 raised. We've got to do the things that we're going to be doing. We're sending two guys this summer to go to Chicago with us to Supreme Chapter, as is required. They are going to have the undergraduate student members are going to have more opportunities to have people in front of them to help them throughout the course of this semester and next semester with things. We're going to coordinate these things, and it's going to cost money. The ritual equipment that we talked about buying, all of the, you know, next year's mid-year leadership conference, the things that we're doing require us to raise that additional funding. So I'm going to ask you guys to send me at least two names of people that you're going to call. I'd like you to email that to me by the end of the week of who you're going to commit to calling. And if you're not comfortable with it, let's talk about it. If you don't want to feel like you're not in a position or don't want to do it, I'm not going to call you out in public, but please tell me that you're not comfortable and let's talk about why and seeing if there's anything that we can do to help you get past that. You know, Chaz, you're sitting on here as a council of advisors. I appreciate your help. I'm not asking for the council of advisors to do this. If you'd like to, I'd appreciate it. But you and Jay and Bobby are not required to, neither is anybody else really, but I'm not including you in.
Right. Got it.
And Chaz, quite honestly, I think you've got a lot tougher of a challenge just from the group of guys that you have, but continue to reach out to them. I would tell you, Chaz, just on this, if you could get us five guys to come to Spring Alumni Weekend, that would be killer. Five of your peers to commit to coming to Spring Alumni Weekend would be amazing for us.
All right. Awesome. Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
That'd be killer. Mm-hmm. But for the rest of you, if you could, please send me the two names of the people, at least two that you're going to call. I'm not patting myself on the back, but I've made those phone calls, and the phone calls that I've made have resulted in guys contributing. So, I sincerely appreciate it. I know it's not fun, but boys, this is really where we're at. We got to get it done. Any questions on that? All right. So in summary, register for Spring Alumni Weekend. Get to me who you're going to be calling in the next week or so by Friday. And then stamp brand with a hot poker. I don't care. Next April 11th onto your calendars to make sure you're there. All right. Anything else? John, do we have any old business that we need to get to?
We do not.
Okay. Yes.
Just a real quick one, just so the group hears it as well. And you and I can talk more afterwards if you want. But when you were talking about building a mentor program with the chapter for the new guys,
yeah,
I think it might be important for us to make sure that we are doing that in conjunction with PICAP Connect. That is the national program that does that exact same thing. And so whether we want to become a subset of that and help by doing that, by helping the PICAP Connect program, so that we're not developing something that the wheels have already been put in place for, find if there's a way we can get into that and make it work for us on our chapter level and help the national fraternity out at the same time.
Yeah, my first instinct was that, and I'm going to be working with Denise and Andrew and Charlotte to kind of help us think this through and establish it and see what some other best practices from other chapters are. So,
right.
That's good. So for next month, the new business is going to be, gosh, darn it. Patrick, are you going to do? No, we're good. We don't have to do new budget. Budget is now not for Spring Alumni Weekend, correct? We're calendar year.
Correct.
Okay. So, John, just to remind us for the agenda next month, new business will be opening up nominations for board of directors for Spring Alumni Weekend. Okay. At this point, I'm going to open up the floor to members in good standing that would like to talk about anything. So the floor is open if anyone would like to say anything.
Hey guys, it's 67. I just wanted to make this somewhat of an announcement, as Tom and I heard this week of the passing of our national secretary. Eric Almquist was a really good guy, served the fraternity for quite a few years, and was actually in position as our national secretary when he passed away this past week. So I just wanted to make everybody aware of that. I know Tom was going to send out some communication from our alumni chapter.
Yeah, and thank you for bringing that up. I didn't purposefully miss that, but I had the opportunity to meet with Eric. In fact, Eric was on the call, Patrick, when we he sat on that call with you and I when we had the charter hearing for back in 2015.
Right.
Eric was an incredible guy. I got to Jason and I got to meet him in Austin 2 years ago. I had also had a couple communications with him because the Iowa State, what they've done and their foundation work was incredible, and had, you know, there are several chapters ahead of us in terms of working with the foundation. So they'd recommended that I reach out to Eric, had a brief email discussion with him. So that was really, really sad. He is an incredible guy. I know that the people in Charlotte, all of our national staff, were devastated to learn that. And I just hate to hear that. So thank you for bringing that up. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to talk about before we adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Well, I was going to say one thing before we did that, but thank you.
Then I'll rescind my motion.
Give me just 1 second. This is an incredible time for us. I think to what we've done in the last month since January is extraordinary. And I say it a lot, but I want to make sure you guys all know how appreciative I am of everything you're doing for us. I'm so thrilled. I'm so excited. It's just, we've envisioned this for a long time, and to think that on Sunday I'll have the opportunity to sit in front of the next generation of young men that are going to lead us into the future is amazing. So I think we should all be very excited. Take the enthusiasm, and let's kind of spread that as we can through the alumni and our ranks. I think guys are hearing what we're saying. They're coming on board. They're excited about it. I've had a lot of interactions with people on email that are asking questions. So let's keep that going. Each one of you guys can go out there and just plug into a few guys and get them excited. Let's see who we can get in for Spring Alumni Week. And I promise, if we can get those, some of the guys that we haven't seen in a while to come in, I think we'll wind up having such a great, great, great celebration in the spring, and it'll set us up very well for the fall and spring of next year, leading into the 40th. So that's all I have. Patrick, would you like to re-motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Can I have a second, please?
Second.
Thank you. Who was that? I'm sorry.
It's Eric.
Thank you, Eric. Without objection, I think this is adjourned. I appreciate all of you guys sticking with me. It's only 10 minutes past time. Have a wonderful evening, guys. I'm pouring my scotch now.
All right. And
good evening. Good night.
Tom, call me whatever.
Yeah, I'll call you in just a few minutes.
Yeah, take your time. Bye. Bye, everybody.